Pick the Nintendo Shack and pray. Frederick from Fire Emblem Awakening says, yo.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Nintendo Shack Podcast. Gibble gobble. Please laugh at the Pokemon Thanksgiving pun. We thought very, very hard about it. It took us many hours to come up with it. I hope you like it. It is Friday. It's not just any Friday. It's Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. I am joined here with Elaine. I am joined here with Garrett. How were your Thanksgivings, guys?
It was good. Pretty good. I ate a lot of food. I ate pie for breakfast this morning, and then I ate pie after dinner today. So I'm full of pie right now.
Good. Just, you should be. That is exactly the way to do it.
That sounds like a dream.
I'm living the dream. Pie. Coffee and pie all day.
What kind of pie?
I have both pumpkin and apple in the house. I had both.
Perfect. Oh, very American. Perfect. Over? Love it.
Both. Both pies. What about you, Garrett? How was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. I did not have any turkey, which is actually a pretty great Thanksgiving because turkey is abysmal. I'm sorry, guys. Why are we eating this bird?
Controversial opinion.
Somebody's had bad turkey.
Is it controversial?
Yes, turkey can be delicious.
I've actually been hearing a lot of people doing kind of untraditional types of Thanksgivings lately, so you might be onto something.
I had fried chicken instead, and it was okay. It was not like spectacular, but it was pretty good. And then had some amazing dishes.
Oh yeah.
Let me tell you. Yeah. Some green bean casserole. Some potatoes au gratin. What's wrong with casserole?
I don't like green bean casserole. I think green
bean casserole is trashing your Thanksgiving meal.
She doesn't like the green bean casserole. I like fried chicken. I love fried chicken. Fried chicken is one of my favorites.
For Thanksgiving?
It's still a bird. It's in the wheelhouse.
We can go for it.
You didn't eat a lasagna.
It's
we're
in the poultry
okay.
section.
Yeah, yeah, we're okay. Yeah, that's true. We're fine. We're in the
lasagna
house of poultry
for
still.
Thanksgiving. Goodness.
I had lasagna tonight.
But that's the day after Thanksgiving.
Well, that's
you're
fine.
That's
true.
You're safe. You're good.
Yep.
You're omitted.
All right. Potatoes au gratin are okay. I'm a big fan. I like mashed potatoes better, but I'm with you. So.
Okay. Yeah. What about you, Rebecca? Good Thanksgiving?
I did. I have a pretty small family. We always have a pretty low-key Thanksgiving. This year, we actually went out to a restaurant for Thanksgiving to get rid of all the cooking, get rid of all the cleaning. It was a very low-key, chill time.
Smart.
Mm-hmm. And it was delicious food. It was like a nice, fancy restaurant. We still had turkey. We still had everything that goes along with what you would think of as Thanksgiving. Mashed potatoes, sweet potato, mashed potatoes, stuffing, the works.
That's good stuff.
So it was very good, very relaxing. It was good.
Yeah, the one.
But
the
we
one...
did make. My dad makes pies, and we also did have pumpkin pie as well.
So. I love pumpkin pie. It's like one of those custard pies that I really, really love, and I love apple pie too. And there's a cheesecake. There's like a no-bake cheesecake in my house too, because someone brought it with them.
Oh,
look, I'm gonna eat a lot of pie and cheesecake for the next like three to four days. It's fine.
Good leftovers are. Perfect.
Glad I have an exercise bike in my house.
Did either of you go out to any like malls or stores for Black Friday today?
Are you out of your damn mind?
No. I don't want to punch someone. Uh-uh. A blender for $2.
You don't want to punch someone. I don't want to get punched.
I would get into a fight. It would probably be me. Yeah, I don't. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
I bought a new desk finally for my. This is why I was late tonight, because I couldn't get my camera to work after recabling my entire life. And so it came the day before Thanksgiving, so I built that today instead of going out to stores. So that's what I did.
Good.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
I don't know if I've ever been out for Black Friday. I'll go out the days, weeks afterwards. I'll do like a lot of online shopping, Cyber Monday type deals, but I don't want to fight the traffic, fight the crowd, standing line. Like, who wants to do that? Not me, but hey.
Oh, it's terrible.
Anyone listening got some good deals? I think there's some good GameStop deals going on right now.
There's a lot of video game deals going on.
All the more power to you if you went out to fight those crowds. But yeah, before we get into what games we've been playing lately and some of the news that we have coming up here today, Garrett, why don't you thank our live on-air producers?
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Edwin Callow, Chris M, Devin Tyus, Horsegirl69,
nice.
Joe Wilson, Josh Barbone, Kyle Heyman, Nick Creature, Paul Calico, RJ Kern, Stephen Keller, Zach Adams, Trucker Sloth, and Michael Taylor. Thank you guys for your support.
Thank you as always. Garrett, what have you been up to? I have a feeling it is the same game.
It's the same exact game, and it's so good. It's so, so good.
Tell us. Tell us your impressions that are different or changed from last week.
It's still the same, I think, in terms of how difficult it is and weird Shin Megami Tensei 5 is. I'm about 10 hours in now. I'm about 10 and a half. I have one complaint, and here's my one complaint about it. It's the saving. There's no autosave, and when you die, when your main character dies, you go, it's a game over, and you go back to the previous save, which I'm fine with. It's just when you put in a bunch of narrative, like, I don't know, like 30 minutes, 45 minutes of narrative, and then into a battle, and then I die, it's like, oh, I'm going to have to go through that 30 to 45 minutes of dialogue again.
Does it not have an option to skip through all of that if you've seen it once already?
It does. So that's fine. It's just now it's not in your like save file, or it's not going to time your game.
For
what you went through.
Yeah, okay.
It just goes immediately back to the last save. I should have. So I was at a point where it was a big transitional part of the game. I don't want to get into any spoilers because it actually goes places. So I don't want to speak to on that. But it is a lot of transition involved with a lot of dialogue. And I soon realized later that there was a save point. They just didn't direct me towards that save point at all or that much. But now everything's fine.
So you can't even choose when to save. It's like a save place.
There's just places like all around save points.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But there are no, like, you go back to the beginning of the battle. It's like, there's nothing like that. It's like, once your main character dies, you're going back to the previous save, which is like, I was like, okay, cool. You want to be like classic or whatever, but it just seems inconvenient to me. Then it's not like it would be any easier if you had it. It would just be a little bit more convenient to, like, let me just go to the beginning of this battle and just go through it again and not waste my time. But that's my one complaint. Other than that, I think Atlas knows turn-based games like no one else. I think they perfected that formula. Whether it's Persona or Shin Megami Tensei, I think I wouldn't say like it's better than anything else, but it's certainly the most creative and certainly the most like engaging turn-based game I've ever really played. And that's the Shin Megami Tensei formula, though, because it makes you experiment on all these different like parties and monsters. It makes you try to fuse together Pokemon. As you could tell, you kind of can get through the game with one or two Pokemon and just be fine. With your four moves. With this game, you really got to, like, okay, I have to fuse these monsters to make this certain monster that has these certain moves and these affinities. And it makes you really think of, like, before you get into a boss battle, what do you need and get into it? I don't think it gets... I mean, it's hard, but once you figure out what the move sets are of your boss or your enemy, you can prepare for that. And it actually gets pretty manageable.
It requires actual strategy instead of spamming surf over and over for the entire game.
Pretty much. I think the one big thing that they put in this game versus previous games is this thing called essence. So over the course of the game, you get the essences of all your other monsters. And these essences you can actually fuse into other monsters or the main character. And that makes you learn new skills. Like, learn new moves that you haven't done before. It's not part of your leveling system or whatever. Or you can change your strengths and weaknesses of elements. And I had to do that for a boss. Because this boss just spammed, one certain element. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to make my main character block that element. And once I did that, I'm like, oh, that's how this game is. You got to have to just kind of like manage and make and don't be afraid of like transforming your monsters like all around. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
mm-hmm. Awesome. That's pretty much it. Still having fun with it.
Yep,
so
I am.
You haven't dipped into Pokemon Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl yet. Are you going to finish Shin Megami Tensei before you do that, or are you going to wait till you get to like a good slow down point?
That's a good question. I don't think I think I'm going to start and finish Pokemon in my journey and marathon of Shin Megami Tensei, because okay. This game is going to take a long time.
That's why I was wondering. Yeah.
Yeah, I think when I want to take a break, I'm like, all right, let's just have some fun and go to Pokemon and have a good time there.
Yeah.
I think another big thing, there's in the story bits of this game, a lot more Persona vibes than I thought before. Ooh. There's a lot more school student relationship. It's not like Persona where you have relationships or whatever and you build those relationships, but there's a school student vibe still in there. It's like, I don't know why these guys are appealing to that. It's very Japanese, I guess. Mm-hmm. There's a school involved and there's students involved and it's going places in the story, so it's good.
Awesome.
It's really, really good. Yeah, but that's all I have to say. I can't wait for Pokemon though. I think I'll get into it like in December sometime.
Nice. Yeah. Good time for Pokemon.
Yeah. What about you, Elaine? You've been diving into Pokemon.
I started the Pokemon. I am on my way to the first gym. Like, I didn't play much of the Pokemon. I've been rewiring my life and cleaning my house and doing like grown-up things. It's been the worst. It looks super good now though. So that was, you know. But I do, yeah. I like the art style in Pokemon so much. Like, especially on the OLED or on my TV. It looks super good, super poppy and colorful and fun. And I'm looking forward to sort of digging into it. What I've spent most of the week on is like really digging into Metroid Dread.
Yes.
I've gotten a bunch of upgrades. I've gotten through a couple boss fights. I am probably in the back third of the game now, I think I have left. Maybe a little more. So past the halfway point easily. Man, that game is so good. Like, it just keeps getting better with every like upgrade that I get. Like, it makes me really happy. I'm glad I dip back into it. I'm glad things chilled out enough for me to be enjoying it again.
Feeling like it's a good balance between the old and familiar upgrades and abilities that you know and love versus new ones where you're like, what the heck is this thing? How do I use it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I love like some of the little throwback stuff. Stuff from like there is something from, I almost don't want to spoil, there's a mechanic from Super Metroid that they named the same thing that it was named in there, with the dash move, like the little extra. It's so good to get those things and to see throwbacks and then to see new stuff. And then how it's used environmentally, especially some of the beam upgrades. Yep. I love those so much. I think it's so good. This game is my favorite of these games in a very long time, and I'm super glad that I'm taking my time and enjoying it. Like, I came back to it at a time when I can really sink in and like love it again. Oh, it's so good. It's just so good, y'all.
It really is. I feel like this is a game, and I don't usually replay games unless they're like a Zelda game that I really love, but this is one that I think I might want to revisit, you know, 5 years down the road and just re-experience it when, you know, I've forgotten how to do everything and just go through all of that again, because I felt like it was that good.
It's making me want to go back through Super Metroid. Yeah, not in a bad way. That's the vibe it's giving me, that it's making me want to go back to Super Metroid. And that's a really good thing. Like, that's a positive thing that I'm just like, oh, man, yeah, let me do Super Metroid again after this, you know? So yeah. I'm so happy with it. I'm so pleased with how amazing it turned out.
I've thought about that, too, and I can't help but wonder what I will feel going back to Super Metroid, because that was my first Metroid game, and I think I said this before. At the time, I felt like I said, okay, this is, you know, timeless. It's aged so well. It holds up today. And after playing Dread, I kind of feel like some of my opinions on that have changed just because of how modern and fresh and well Dread does everything.
Yep.
I'm not saying that Super Metroid isn't a timeless classic, because I still think it is. But I think I have more bones to pick with it now that I've seen it through what it could be lens.
That's fair.
And that's just a product of its time kind of thing.
Yeah,
fault of its own.
It's been a long time since I played through Super Metroid. I like the way that particular world wraps back around and connects in itself, probably better than Dread. I feel like Dread is just slightly more disjointed, which is fine. Like, it's not bad. But I don't know if I'm remembering Super Metroid the way I think I am. So that's why I kind of want to go back through it.
When did you play it last?
It has to have been a decade. It really does. I think it was in college. Yeah. I think it was right around, like, yeah, I think it was more than that, more than a decade, 15 years. It's been a long time. So
I played it for the first time in 20, I want to say like 17 or 18.
Oh,
so
it's wow.
been recently for me. Yeah.
Boy, yeah, it's been a minute.
You got it on that Switch.
It's on there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I might play it's it. I might just be like, Switch next. Online. So, but yeah.
But yes, Elaine, you have a 2-week deadline for finishing Metroid Dread.
No problem.
So we can have that spoiler cast on.
Homework. We're doing it. We're going to do it. I'm going to get through it. Probably, if I had to guess, with the exception of like getting stuck on a hard boss, another week or so, and I'll be done with
gotcha.
It.
Gotcha. So, cool. Cool. Anything else that you've been up to?
That's it for me. So much recabling. So never yes. again. Never, never again. Never
lots
again.
Lots of adulting. Ugh. It's okay. It feels good to get some of that stuff
it
done
does.
Out of the way.
It does. It really does.
I also have been diving into Pokemon Brilliant Diamond. I reviewed it for Twinfinite. So the review actually
Yay.
Came out today. I will Woo. Post it in the show notes. Please just take a look at it. I'll give you kind of a recap of my thoughts and stuff here. But it does help support me to click on that link and just mm-hmm. glance through it a little bit. See my words. But I liked a lot of things about this. There were a lot of things that I felt like there were room for improvement. I
yeah.
can't help but feel like for years and years and years, we have heard people saying, you know, remake Gen 4, Sinnoh confirmed, like
yep.
all these. Longer than any other Pokemon game, even before the Gen 3 remakes came out,
mm-hmm.
I remember people saying, I want Gen 4
Me
remade,
too.
I want Gen 4 remade, just because I feel like there's a very passionate group of people who have nostalgia for this game, and...
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it needed a lot of those quality of life remakes. It was kind of stuck in between,
mm-hmm.
I feel like, the old school Pokemon, which is the first three gens, and then
mm-hmm.
kind of what we think of as modern Pokemon being, you know, Gen 5 onwards. At least that's kind of how I see the divide.
Yeah, I can mm-hmm. see that.
So it's stuck somewhere in the middle there, and it does give a lot of those good quality of life remakes that, or updates that a remake should have. Like, it fixes up HMs very nicely.
Yes.
The pace is so much nicer in this game. I remember the little bits and pieces that I played of Pokemon Pearl, it was just so slow, and I felt like it was a slog throughout the game, and just the pacing was all over the place. This speeds it up considerably,
mm-hmm.
and I really like that about it. But I think it might have gone a little bit too far in that direction, because, like Garrett, you were saying, I felt like I was very over-leveled throughout the entire game.
Oh.
I was using one or two Pokemon the entire time. They're all, like, 10 levels above my opponents because of the experience share, and I was pretty much one-shotting enemy after enemy, just kind of spamming the same move throughout the whole game because of that over level pacing. But
mm-hmm.
if I had to choose between it being a slog, you know, very slow pace versus speeding through all the enemies, I would definitely prefer the latter.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just can't help but feel like Pokemon, which is a multi-billion dollar franchise, the highest grossing media franchise in the world, Gen 4 deserved a little bit better than this. There's no platinum
okay.
content. There's glitches.
Yeah.
I glitched my way through the ice type gym because I didn't really feel like solving the puzzle. And I noticed that if you like
okay.
try to go up the slopes at a certain angle, it will just glitch its way all the way up the slope. So I did that to get
That's
to the gym
crazy.
Leader, and it was a lot faster than solving the puzzle the intended way.
Wow.
I've seen other people post glitches. Nothing that's like game breaking or anything like that. Like, you don't have to worry about your save file or anything, but it doesn't seem like it was developed very carefully. There
mm-hmm.
are still like a lot of battle scenes where the textures are just very bare bones, blank, not really a whole lot of like detail and design going on. So I just feel like there's some lazy bits and pieces here and there. So I do feel like Diamond and Pearl did deserve better than this after how much it has been wanted for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
I talked about this in my review. It's still a lot of fun. They have the Pokemon that are walking behind you that people love. The Grand Underground is just so much fun to do the mining. The story, I think, is one of the best in Pokemon. There's some really surprising dark parts of the story.
Yes.
That kind of caught me off guard. I'm like, wow, did they really say that in a Pokemon game? Like, goodness gracious. But I had a lot of fun with it. So if you read my review, it's pretty balanced in terms of that, where it is a gem. Like, I do really like this game and I have a lot of fun with it. I just, like, can't help but wish that Pokemon would not do this. And I know it's this developer's first game. It's not Game Freak. It's, was it ILSA or ILCA? Well, whoever we said.
Something like that.
It's their first game. I don't know why Pokemon is being handed off to a developer who it's their first game.
Well, I think it's because it's a remake, so they have a template to go off of. And I, when they said this studio is doing it, and then when I heard it's going to be on Unity, like a completely different engine, I was like, this game's going to be a interesting experimental title within itself. When you said glitches, it's like, we've been seeing a lot of weird glitches on Twitch or and on Twitter as well. I've seen Pokemon like jump from like the bottom to the top of like let's say like a bridge or a cliff, and it's because Unity doesn't understand where the hyperplane was for that object. So it's a completely different set of tool sets separate from the mainline Pokemon games.
And it is a faithful remake. If you love Gen 4 and you are looking for basically like a one-to-one remake with those modern quality of life touches, this is a great game for you to play. I never like played Gen 4 all the way through, so I really like this. I got to experience Gen 4 for what it was and not really have to wonder, oh, was it this way in the original, like things like that, because it is. I don't know. It's like,
I have a question for you. You've played, I mean, like, you know the jump between Gen 3, the old Gen 3 games and the new ones. And I don't know, like, what your impressions on it. It's one of my favorites. The Gen 3 remake is one of my favorites. Are you kind of feeling, so what's bogging down this one compared to that jump that you saw with Omega Ruby?
Good question. Because I do feel like Heart Gold, Soul Silver, the Gen 2 remakes, and Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire, the Gen 3 remakes are very, very good examples of remakes because they did stay true to the original source material, but there was a lot more on top of that that kind of made me say, wow. Like, I remember in Gen 3, they added for the remakes, they let you do a lot more with the secret bases that you could go and challenge people, and people did real creative things with helping you level up with them. They redid one of the entire towns, I think, so that I think there was one town, was it Mauville, where there was like kind Mauville of not City, so much to do in the original game in Ruby and Sapphire, but I think they kind of rehauled it to make it so that there was a lot more that you could do with it. So it was still the same story, still things like that. I think also in Gen 3, correct me if this is wrong, but they you were able to find more Pokemon out in the wild than you could in the original games. Like, I think you were able to use the I am blanking on what
it was, like the Poke Park or whatever, right?
Don't remember how that works.
You were able to use like your device to search for like hidden Pokemon in the grass or something, and it let you find
I remember that
older generation Pokemon that you wouldn't normally be able to find in the original games. There was somewhat Emerald content. I remember there was still complaints that there wasn't all of the Emerald content, but I know that they had the post game the Delta episode that kind of touched on the Rayquaza story and things like that. Heart Gold, Soul Silver, I know, took crystal content. So there is post game content for Diamond and Pearl, but as far as I know, there's not a lot of the upgrades that Platinum had that people really liked. So yeah, I think some stuff like that, like, I think they can stay true to, you know, be faithful remakes and stay true to the original source material while also making it, I guess, worthwhile for somebody who has played it already and wants a little bit more than just nostalgia. I don't know. I don't fall into that camp because I didn't play it originally, but I could see myself saying that if I did. Because it looks kind of like the original did, but with just the chibi kind of graphics instead of sprites. Like, tree for tree, it's the same. So.
Yeah, and what you said about the pacing, I've kind of observed this for the past three games. Ever since Sun and Moon, I'm seeing the same exact kind of fault line of these games where you can have really, I mean, you could have done it in previous games, but I feel like it was a little bit better of like, not more of a challenge, but like, hey, you got to make sure you got the right Pokemon, yes, and make sure it's super effective by the Pokemon League. Yeah. You better have a good party. Mm-hmm. But like Sun and Moon, I was like, okay, this is just a breeze, yeah, now. Like, this is not, you're not thinking at, yeah, all. Like, and you could just go through
this game. In this game, in Brilliant Diamond, I never caught a six party member.
Goodness.
I really took five Pokemon through the majority of the game. I dropped three of them for the last two gyms, and I really was only carrying two Pokemon for the last two gyms to, wow, level them up a little bit faster. I ended up needing to bring in more than one for more than just those two for, you know, the Elite Four and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for the most part, I didn't need more than two members. I was using Floatzel for the entire game.
That's crazy.
Barely touched any of my other Pokemon.
That's crazy you can do that. Yeah. That's insane.
Yeah, which I know that there's ways to make the game harder. Like, people do Nuzlocke rules. You can choose to only use a certain type. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're completely right, Garrett. But yeah.
I wish they just defined that rules a little bit more, have a little bit of a scaler going on. I think it can go a long way for Pokemon now.
Mm-hmm. I'm really looking forward to seeing what Legends Arceus is going to be like, because I think that has the potential to be kind of the bridge to, you know, narrow this
something
gap
new
of what we won, and something new for sure.
Something new, something fresh, and Game Freak's making it. It's still a flip side of the coin for me, because it could be fantastic or it can just be, it may not be good. I'm just saying that because Game Freak has not made great games.
They
that
have
are not
a history.
Pokemon.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's
valid.
I'm cautiously optimistic.
Very valid.
I'm not going to hold my breath, though. I want to just see how this shakes out. Like, I have no expectation for Legends, and that's cool. Like, I'm glad to go into something without an expectation of what it should be.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
For once, and I'm excited about that.
I don't want to be too optimistic. I don't want to be too pessimistic.
I just
going to see what it is.
Clear mind, open heart deal. Like, let's just see what happens. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So while we're on the topic of Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl, we're going to get into This Week in Nintendo. We have a sales roundup via Famitsu. It sold 1.39 million physical copies in Japan in its first 3 days. To put this in a little bit of perspective, this outpaced Sword and Shield's first 3 days by a small margin, but it's still below each of the 3DS games that released on Switch. That being said, it's the second largest Switch game launch in Japan, right behind Animal Crossing New Horizons.
That makes sense.
So we can complain all we want about what we don't like about it, what we wish it was, but it does not matter.
No. People were...
It destroyed Shin Megami Tensei.
Well, of course it did. People were itching for Pokemon. People wanted Pokemon. People got Pokemon. Definitely. People were excited
about Pokemon. This, I feel like I said, this is the remake that I have been hearing people ask for more than anything else.
Yep, I agree.
Anything. Like, even beyond Pokemon, I cannot remember a more requested remake than this.
Yeah, this one's really up there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So people came through with buying it. Ian brings up a good question. Where do you think the Diamond and Pearl remakes position puts Pokemon Platinum in terms of an eShop Switch Online release in the future?
I could see them doing a DLC pack for the Platinum content for this game. I don't see them releasing a third, like another game into the loop, but I could see them dropping DLC that puts that stuff in, especially because it seemed like this thing was sort of squeaked in right at the finish line in terms of like finishing this game. I could see the plan being like, okay, we do want to put the Platinum content that we added in. We'll add it in a DLC.
Paid or free update?
I could totally see that too. Yeah.
What do you think?
I think it could be it could be paid at this
point. Oh, it'll be,
I think they can do that.
Yes.
They can get away with it.
For Pokemon,
They did pay DLC in the last gen, but in the remakes of ORAS, the third gens, they did not.
Right.
It was a free update with the whatever the episode was with
Rayquaza.
Yeah. The Delta episode. I agree with Elaine. It's going to be DLC. I hope it is.
Yeah.
I'm not I'm not holding my breath that they do it though. Like
they may just not bounce out. But
yeah,
it, with this selling the way that it has, with how requested it was and how well Platinum was received, I believe Platinum was really, really well loved.
Platinum is very, very
good. So I can see them saying, here's a $20 DLC pack that adds all of Platinum's content in.
Ooh, $20.
It's Pokemon.
I could see that.
You know they could do it. It's Pokemon.
So. If I had to put my money on it, I would say that they probably don't plan to do something like this just because they simply don't need to. And it doesn't, like, while it is the content that people are asking for, I don't know that it's enough to justify, like, a DLC pack or anything like that. I think people will buy it. People will complain about it, but it will still sell, like you said.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah. Any other thoughts on Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl?
I want to get more into it.
I can't wait to get into
it.
I
want to get more into
it. It's not that I'm like down or pessimistic about Pokemon. I will play it. I will love it out of nostalgia.
I know I just spewed out a lot of complaints about it, but I had a lot of fun with it, and I think it's still worth playing.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. For sure.
All right. Mario Golf Super Rush gets its last free update. The free update to version 4.0.0 is available to download now. Two new playable characters are added, Shy Guy, who's an all-around golfer, and Wiggler, who is a power golfer. There's two new courses, Shelltop Sanctuary and All-Star Summit. Two new modes, Target Golf and One-on-One Putt. There's no word on whether there will be paid DLC or expansions in the future, but this is their last free update, they say. What do you think?
I'm so sad.
Why are you sad?
Why are they stopping the support of this Mario?
I don't think it sold as well as they wanted it to. And
because
I don't,
there was no content.
Because it wasn't like a enough content. Sword. Yep. No content. I agree. I was really disappointed by this game. Like, it made me sad. It made me sad.
I think a lot of people were disappointed by
it. So I sit here and I want Mario Strikers to come back, but not if you're going to do it like this.
Me too.
Do you know what I mean? Like, not. That's my problem. Yeah. Like, if you're going to release to me my favorite Mario sports game back, then you have to do it right. And I just don't have a ton of faith after this in, like, tennis, which I didn't love either.
Mm-hmm.
So.
G-Man in chat's mad at us. He says he's the only one excited for this.
Oh, I'm glad that people are going to play it and are pumped about it. I should just say that this game was like a little bit of a disappointment to me. You know what I mean? So I think I'm okay just letting it go.
Yeah, it is a shame because I was going to buy this game until it came out and people were like, oh, there's like a lot of content missing. There's no online mode. And you're right, Garrett. It is kind of sad that they're not continuing with the updates for it because I feel like they're getting there. They're adding those new courses. One of the complaints was not a lot of courses. They're adding them. There's more characters. Like, it would be so cool to play a Shy Guy and Wiggler. Like, that's amazing.
Yep.
Two new modes. Like, they're still adding cool new things to do. If they kept this up, I could see them, you know, maybe for the 1 year anniversary, maybe putting out, like, I don't know, the last update then, and then having it all come together in one package. Like, this is worth it now that it's been a year.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. This is Camelot, right?
Yes.
That's still doing this?
Yep.
Okay. I'm seeing this cadence now, and it's like, okay, I get it. Your sports games are going to be lackluster in the beginning, and they're not going to be very mechanically sound, as I've seen in the previous games. But you're going to... We say it doesn't sell well. It actually does sell pretty good for what it is. I think they put just the amount of effort. They're like, that's a game that a lot of gamers probably will get it, but a lot of non-gamers will get it too. And it's like, we're good. And let's just...
For the budget, for the time.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep, shovel it out and we're done. And we're going to the next Mario Party. We're going to the next Mario Sports game to rinse, recycle, repeat. And it's sad that it's now to this point because I'm disappointed with Mario Tennis as well. Mm-hmm. I loved Mario Tennis back in the day.
Me too.
I'm disappointed for Mario Golf because I heard the 3DS one is fantastic.
And it is.
They were really, really good. And I understand this one's okay as well. I think a lot of people do play this game, but for a lot of fans of like Donnie in this game, it's like absolutely not. Mechanically, it's not there. And it's too easy or it's too samey or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just see this cadence with Camelot. So my expectation for the next Mario Sports game from Camelot, it's like I'm not gonna buy $60 for another Camelot Mario Sports game if it's going to be like this formula from now
on. It's like I said, I want Mario Strikers badly. It was one of my favorite Mario sports games like ever. I also liked basketball, but like I don't want it if we're going to do it like this, where we release it half baked and then add content until it's a full game. It's like somebody made the point in chat, and it's a valid point. If no one really knows when Nintendo is working on a game, why not just hold it till it's content complete? Why do this like skeletal release and then content add? And by the time you get to the end, you have a $60 product easily. But it takes them so long to get there that it's frustrating for the player who really wants it and then has to wait. You know what I mean? Like, just
and you would never have seen this 20 years ago because you couldn't download an update. You had to ship a complete game, and I feel like Nintendo is not the only one who's guilty of this.
No, you're seeing
this all across the board that people are releasing half finished games, in some cases quarter finished games,
and
updating it later. It's like release it now, collect our money. We'll put out those updates when we get to them.
Yeah. Yep, it's frustrating, especially if you really love these games and you want more content and you don't want to have to wait to do it. So it's a bummer.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad they dropped more content. I just wish it would have all been in the package from release. So.
And I think it's just a sign of the times and how things are now. I don't see this getting better.
No, this will just either continue. This will continue to get worse to a breakpoint. You know what I mean? Until people finally stop buying games if they're half-baked, and then they walk it back a little. We've seen this loop before.
Do they do that, or do they look and say, oh, Mario Golf, not really popular. We don't need to make another one of these for 10 more years.
That's probably what's going to happen, because Mario sports games are not a yearly iteration thing anyway, right? They hold them until a new system comes out, and then they give you a new one eventually when people are frothing for it enough. So this is not Nintendo's moneymaker, and they know it, and it's fine. So,
Does Camelot make the Olympics ones, too?
I don't think so, and that hasn't been as bad. Those have been better. To me, I don't think that's their.
And that's Mario and Sonic.
Yeah, and I like those.
I'm sure the next one.
I like those more than I like care to admit. So.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Sounds good. I was just curious.
But yes, enjoy the update. It is available to download now. Neo, The World Ends With You has underperformed expectations, Square Enix says. In a new financial briefing, while Neo, The World Ends With You was well received by users, it underperformed our initial expectations, they said. Square Enix suddenly has a growing interest towards blockchain games, which we talked about on a previous episode.
It is worth noting that this game on Black Friday sales I've seen for as low as $15. $15. That's nuts. These games are good. It's too bad that it's not selling as well as they wanted it to sell. But they also named it something confusingly close to the original game's name.
I was confused last week when we were talking about it. I'm like, is this the same game? Is this?
Right.
And I feel like the marketing was all over the place for this game.
Agree.
Like, I didn't see a whole lot of it until it was like just about to come out. And I'm like, oh, wait, this game? Like, I didn't know this was coming out this weekend.
And then it's like, is this another remake? Is this a DLC pack for the? Because of the way they named it, it's so confusing. And I knew better, you know, but like most people probably didn't. And it breezed right past them probably because of it. And people who played it loved it. Those games are great. But the problem is you have to sell it to enough people to justify the budget. That's part of the problem. That's part of the game.
They really should have named it The World Ends With You 2.
Yeah, they should. Not they should have just this. Named it so that people understood, because they had just released a remake. This became even more confusing. Yes. You know. Yeah.
And if you look at the box art too,
it's so close.
Very similar.
It's very.
It's very
super confusing. So
very bad marketing.
It was not a good move. I wish it would have sold better. I've heard great things about that game. I played the first and like it.
Hobie 1K says it perfectly. Neo was marketed as well as the Wii.
Yep. It was it's true.
Not marketed well.
It
at
had
all.
That same vibe where you're like, is this a new product
or
is this an extension of a product I've already paid for? Yeah. It's very confusing. Mm-hmm.
I barely saw any marketing or advertisement for this game. I think I was the only one, like, at the time in the sphere. And I think Hobie 1K, too. But, like, I played the demo, beginning of July. And it's like, hey, I really like this game. This game is really cool. You should check it out. And then it's just, like, no buzz. And then critics acclaim it very well.
Exactly.
Reviewed very, very well. But, yeah, if you don't have the marketing behind there, you're not going to get the sales. It's surprising to keep hearing this from Square Enix over and over and over again.
You would think they wouldn't be making these mistakes time after time like this.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously.
And I think with this game and IP, I think they were just expecting this kind of, oh, it was a critical darling at the time. That's just going to carry over. We don't need to market it. We don't need to put a fantastic marketing budget to get this game out and sell it. It's a really good game, and it's a sequel to a very critical darling of a DS game, and that's absolutely not the case. You definitely need marketing in this.
They did, and the other thing is the remake of the original DS game on Switch wasn't as good as the DS game. Because that's of the right, loss of that screen and some of the touch stuff, right, it's still good. It just doesn't. It's not as good. Like if someone was to ask me where do I play it, I would say on the DS, even to this day. Mm-hmm. So you're coming
that's saying something.
It is, and you're coming hot off of that too, on top of not marketing this game and naming it something stupid. So like, what did you expect? You know, like it's tough. That was tough. They put themselves in a crappy position.
They're bringing up Kingdom Hearts naming schemes in chat
and the box art.
Totally nailed that.
So we've seen this problem with Square, and Kingdom Hearts will carry it because everybody froths for Kingdom Hearts. This is obscure, more obscure.
Not every franchise has a household name like Kingdom Hearts.
Not everybody's got Disney, so you got to come in at it differently. So this was a miss for them, and I hope they don't kill off this series because of this, because that would bum me out.
Yeah. It was a great game, or a great demo that I played. And the problem is that this year had a surprisingly good amount of like JRPGs around the time, too. Like, I played Monster Hunter Stories 2 at the time, and I know Bravely Default 2 was just right before then, and then we got Persona Strikers, and then we had Shin Megami Tensei. There's just so many games around that genre now. It's like you're competing now in between all of this. So it was just kind of a lot of things against the game. $15 for it, that's a steal. I should have gotten on top
I think
of that,
it's but, still on that price, because I think you're still going to see that. And you're going to see it come back again for Cyber Monday. So if people are listening to this, you know, that game will be cheap for a bit. Try to grab it.
Yeah.
Sounds
a
like
really
it's
good
right
third-person action game. It was really cool. I actually just went and skimmed through this financial briefing report, and let me tell you, that was just literally one sentence of that financial briefing. A half a slide. The other half a slide was talking about how Life is Strange, the Switch edition, the remakes, and True Colors being gonna carry and lift over the Switch sales.
Oh,
I thought that was a pretty interesting prediction coming from them. Maybe,
yeah, seriously.
I don't know. There was like at least two slides about this Square Enix going into blockchain.
Yeah, I'm curious about that line. What are they saying about that?
They've realized their investors love money, and they love the buzzword blockchain, and they love the buzzword NFTs.
Gross.
Those are the new things, right? Those are the new things to get into business with, to get a ton of money.
How is that
going to
be in gaming?
I don't like it.
I honestly don't know. And they literally, what they said is, oh, we've recognized how profitable or how important these tokenized economics are, and we have the gaming expertise, but we don't have the blockchain economics, so we're gonna outsource these for. I'm just like,
so
oh,
is
this
just
so
talk
bad.
For them to get the attention, to talk. Get them to perk their ears up? Like, we're gonna look into this and then never look into it.
I hope so. I hope that's so. Let's hope.
That's exactly it. Yeah. It's really gonna be like, hey, we're talking about it. There's no.
And then
like,
they're gonna realize that this isn't something you can implement on a consumer level to. On a game, in the game sphere,
hopefully.
I hope not. There are not major companies. Major companies are thinking about it, but there's these kind of weird, small, dark web pocket type of NFT blockchain games are happening.
Gross.
And it's, I don't know how.
Like
it's
that
gonna
rip
work.
Off Mario one we talked about the other week.
Oh, right.
Yep, exactly. I think they're more related to sports games right now, because NFTs and sports is like it's actually a pretty big thing. There's like a lot of money invested into that. But Yeah, I hope Square Enix is just saying this just because to perk the investors up and nothing else. I don't want to hear this at all, especially coming from Square Enix.
I just don't want things to cost more money.
There's that too. Yep.
Yep, that's my fear to justify all
I don't think it's going to hit our critical gaming sphere, but it's kind of just haunting when you just see like a gaming company like Square Enix that makes really great games all around.
Yeah.
To have this type of buzzword and like, hey, mobile games and blockchain games, we're gonna do it too.
It's
please don't. Please.
Don't like
We've
that.
summoned Yarden in chat with the word NFT.
No, stop this. It's like summoning Cthulhu when you use NFT. Right. You're gonna get Cthulhu. You want Cthulhu? That's how you get Cthulhu.
Ugh. Moving on.
Thank you.
12 Minutes was announced for Switch. This game released earlier this year on PC and Xbox. For those who don't know, it's a real-time, top-down interactive thriller with time-looping mechanics. It will be releasing on Switch, PS4, and PS5 on December 7th. This one, I think, got some mixed reviews. I think people either really loved it or really hated it.
Mm-hmm.
I love my good old time-looping mechanics. Depending on the price, I might get this. I don't know. I heard it's not like a super long game.
And it's not.
I love the time looping, so that sounds... I love the top down, so this sounds like my type of game. And depending on the price, I might be willing to try it.
So, Elaine, did you play
this? No, it's installed on my Xbox because it was on Game Pass. So I need to get through this because I've heard some very controversial things about the story and people really hating the ending or really liking it. I need to... dip into it. It's not supposed to be long, Bex, so
okay.
Yeah, I've listened enough impressions where I'm not gonna get into this game to waste my time because I heard it's like it can be broken. It can be soft locked.
Yeah, it can happen.
Interesting.
I'm curious. I want to play it, like, because it's on Game Pass. I lose in my brain. I lose nothing. So
yeah.
Yep.
Cool. So yeah, that's coming out a couple weeks for anyone interested. We talked a little bit earlier about Life is Strange True Colors getting its release date on Switch. So it will release digitally first on December 7th as well. If you are like me and you're waiting for a physical copy of the game, that releases next year on February 25th.
Yeah.
There's still no Switch release date for the remastered collection, but reminder that it is coming to other platforms on February 1st.
I wonder
if that's still going to be Switch. Probably not. Switch will probably come afterwards, but...
I will buy this physically on the Switch in February. That will be what I will
do. Me too.
I would like to own the box. Yeah. Yep.
Same. Because I did play it when it came out digitally on PS5. I love this game. This game means a lot to me. I adore it. And I have been waiting for Life is Strange to come to Switch forever. Mm-hmm. So this will be a physical day one for me on February 25th.
Okay.
Over in the rumor mill, Chrono Cross Remake is reportedly in develop for multiple platforms, including Switch. So for those who don't know, this is the sequel, quote-unquote, to Chrono Trigger that originally released for the original PlayStation in 1999. This remake is one of the many unannounced titles listed in a NVIDIA database leak that the company admitted was real, even if it said the games didn't necessarily exist. Which...
wild.
The games exist. Like,
yeah, they exist.
Come on. But more so that news came out, I think, in September. But more recently, a singer reported she's recorded an Irish language theme for the game. This new rumor claims that this remake is set to be announced by Christmas. And I want to know, do you guys think it could be a Game Awards announcement?
Yeah, this would totally be be the right place for something like this.
I'm so excited.
I never played Chrono Cross. I never played this one.
Yeah, me neither.
And I'm curious.
So you guys know I love Chrono Trigger a lot. I started playing Chrono Cross earlier this year on my little what's our Retroid Pocket?
The Retroid Pocket,
Retroid Pocket.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had like got so involved over the summer with the move and everything, and I put it down and then other things came out. But now that I'm done with my Pokemon review, now that everything else that I wanted to play this year is done with, I want to pick this back up and finish it before the end of the year, especially if there's a remake coming.
Mm-hmm.
So when I see people, just let me nerd out for a couple minutes about this.
Do it.
Go for it.
When this came out, this rumor, I hear everybody saying,
why aren't they remaking Chrono Trigger? Like, Chrono Trigger is the more beloved one. Like, Chrono Cross is good, but it's not as good. Personally, in my opinion, I am way more psyched out about this getting a remake than Chrono Trigger. Hmm. I would be a perfectly content person if Chrono Trigger would just get a port over.
Agreed.
And Chrono Cross would be the one to get the remake, because Chrono Cross needs it a lot more. Mm-hmm. Chrono Trigger holds up well today. It's already out on Steam if you want to play it today. You can already play it on a modern platform. I know it's not the most ideal place to play it, but you can.
Yeah.
Chrono Cross was put on the PlayStation 3 store, and that's it. Like, that's the most modern place that you can play it. It does have, like, some issues. It's a very pretty game. It's so pretty. I kind of like the battle mechanic maybe even a little bit more than Chrono Trigger's. There's so many cool characters. Like, I want to go back and finish this game, and I think this would look absolutely beautiful if they remade it, you know, with modern standards.
I hope they do.
I need to play it on the Vita.
Is
it on the PlayStation Classic store or whatever?
I think so. I don't recall. I have to look that up. I want to play it too. I've never played it, and I would almost rather. I'm gonna wait and see if a remake gets announced, because I would almost rather tackle it in remake form.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I would say I would say do that. The music.
I wonder
so
what
good.
Kind of remake it's gonna be like. Is it gonna be more of a 2D HD remake, or is
no, because it's a 3D game.
Final Fantasy.
It's a 3D game.
Oh, so,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay.
That's why.
Sorry,
needs a remake so much.
Yes.
Because that the graphical format just doesn't hold up like a sprite based 16-bit format does. Like, to me.
Okay.
So,
and to be fair, it's a beautiful game. It's a beautiful game considering it's a 3D game on the PlayStation. Just for what they were able to pull off for $19.99, it looks really good.
Agree. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm interested because I've heard great things, of course, from Ryan Turner.
Yeah, I was going to say he's hype about this. So
over at the RPG Cave, you know. But yeah, I would be totally into this, and I would probably get it. Do you think it's going to be $60?
Yes.
Full on flesh
probably.
Remake?
Absolutely.
I'm just trying to gauge, because I don't. When's the last time they've done a 3D remake? They did Final Fantasy VII. Is it going to be like Final Fantasy VII remake, or is it going to be like Final Fantasy VIII?
This is going to be a remaster, like, not a remake to me. My guess. Like, that's my like a full on remake. From the ground up, like Final Fantasy VII got, that's
that'd
a
be
tremendous.
Cool.
It would be hard
long
to keep
game.
That
There's
secret, you know? Like
dozens of party members that you can get in this game.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's not like Chrono Trigger where there's like five or six. There's dozens.
It's nuts. It's actually crazy.
I'm down.
And it's a pretty long game. I think it's like more of an RPG length than Chrono Trigger was.
Yep.
Cool.
To really, I think if people are hesitant about a $60 price tag for it, I think what they could really do to seal the deal for that is put on disc/cartridge Chrono Trigger, the port, and Chrono Cross, the remake remaster.
I appreciate that.
That would be perfect if it's a collection. Think about that.
What would really make me happy is if they put Chrono Trigger on the Nintendo Online
catalog. Yeah, they should do that. They should have done that 3 years ago.
That would be the better way to market this thing. Like, here, look what we did, and then this comes out. But we'll see. I'm hoping it's less than $60, but I could see them trying to get away with $60 for this. Totally.
I could totally see the market Chrono Trigger tagged along with
Chrono
Cross
probably
remake.
Right.
And $60. Oh my gosh. I think that would get a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. Also, for those who don't know, when I said sequel and put it in quotes, it's you don't need to play Chrono Trigger. I thoroughly recommend every single human being play Chrono Trigger, so don't take this as don't play Chrono Trigger, but it's a sequel in that it's like in the same universe as Chrono Trigger, but it's a whole different cast of characters. There are some character references and whatnot to Chrono Trigger, but it's not like a direct continuation or anything like that. So just to clear that up and put that out there for anyone wondering. But I hope this is real. I hope it's announced at the Game Awards.
Me too.
Scream.
That would be exciting.
It'd be a really nice treat.
That would be exciting. Yep.
Yes. All right. And then to wrap up our news segment, this is a little random piece of news that I wanted to throw in here.
This is ridiculous.
So, A YouTuber is offering $10,000 to anyone who can create a multiplayer mod for The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Ridiculous.
They came up with a list of specific requirements, including it needs to have at least 4 players with individual inventories, not shared inventory, that must have no limitations in terms of map movement, a frame rate of at least 28 frames per second or more, and it must be completed at least 2 months before the release of Breath of the Wild sequel. Now, for anyone who doesn't know, modders for the game create their mods for free, but nobody has yet come up with a fully functional multiplayer mod. Is this a fair request to the modding community, or is this totally delusional?
So, here's my thing. 10K, if you look at like a development budget, is selling this short as hell. Like, if they, this is not close. Yes. Like, you're asking somebody to pour hundreds of hours of work into something for 10K. Don't do this, people. Don't give away your work for free like this. Like, creating something that you love is different. But for 10K, this is ridiculous. Like, that's a multi-million dollar project.
This isn't a one-person fan project that can be done.
It's not that
there's a reason why it doesn't exist yet.
Exactly. And it's not 10K is ridiculous. 100K, we can talk. But like, this is a development project. This is like software engineers would take. You don't offer someone a 10K for something like this.
I think people have a very twisted idea of what game development is. It's not going into the source code and putting like bracket multiplayer close bracket
magic happens
and then boom,
number of players 4
just inventory
shared inventory
it's not how this works. So like 10 and 10k is laughable. Like, that's laughable for the amount of the hours of work that would go into this by someone qualified to write that code. Laughable.
Not to mention that whoever, if let's say somebody did, like maybe a small team of people do work really hard and they make it and they're like, we're going to claim this $10,000 bounty. You don't think that's going to get shut down by Nintendo 3 days before? Like,
who's going to release this right before Breath of the Wild 2 comes out? They're not going to let them do that. They're going to they're going to take down the crap out of that. And this YouTuber is going to burn 10K, but these people are going to burn hundreds of hours of work for no reason. Like, don't do this. Don't give away your work for free. Don't do this. Stop.
I think the modding community in general is laughing.
I hope so.
Laughing. And
are you real? Are you serious about
some
this?
Some of the modding communities are really awesome, and they'll be so happy where if you're like, man, I really wish I could play as Goku in Breath of the Wild, they will put a Goku model in there and you can play as Goku.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
But they're not going to... Like I said, there's a reason why this doesn't exist, because
there's lots of
reasons. It's
not
something that can be done in a couple months, you know, with these specifications.
Like,
it's kind of ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. And these types of people shouldn't be working for free for 10K. They should be coding, and hopefully are, for other games. They should be doing something
and getting a career
and getting paid for it.
And guess what, guys? Skyrim's been out for 10 years, and no one has made a multiplayer mod, and no one will make a multiplayer
mod. It's hard.
There's these mods in Skyrim that's completely different from Skyrim. They've made brand new worlds, brand new dungeons, brand new quests. There's the game Sinking City that actually came from a Skyrim mod. These projects have been going on for years. This is not going to happen, and this is laughable.
For $10,000, the idea of syncing 4 players with a no limitations of map and trying to keep their positions in sync across a multiplayer game.
Don't forget the frame rate.
I can't.
If it dips below 28, you're not getting that $10,000.
I would laugh at this 10K. I would laugh. I write budgets for part of my job. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. Get out of here with this nonsense.
I put this story in here so that we could laugh
so
at
we
it.
Could be mad at them. Yeah. Get out of here, YouTuber.
Who's this YouTuber?
No. They don't deserve a plug on this show. Don't plug their
nonsense. You can Google it if you're curious.
You'll see
lots of other people laughing as well.
All right.
I wonder what his what the context is, because if it's just this,
I think he just wants
ridiculous.
It. Well, I don't know. I think it's kind of curious that he wants it completed at least 2 months before the release of Breath of the Wild sequel, which we don't even know when that game's coming out. It could be March.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, but
it's not.
It's
it could be.
This person
like,
is bored.
We don't know.
This is clickbait YouTube content. You know what I mean? Like, don't This is, waving your internet parts around. Don't click on this. Don't give
it. How funny would it be if a group of modders is like just wrapping up their mod of like Multiplayer Breath of the Wild and they're like, ooh, ooh, timely.
Free 10K. That's different. If you've already done the work because you love it, then yeah, cash in on your free 10K. You know what I mean? But like, don't do it just for, this is not, don't do that. Ew. No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, probably some kind of publicity stuff.
Yeah, this is for views.
I didn't read their name. All right, that wraps up our news.
Thank you.
We have some chat questions directly from you. Kyle the Pug says, since Thanksgiving was yesterday, what was your favorite thing to eat during food coma day? He says, for me, I made some chicken enchilada chili with cornbread. And it was amazing. And are you still hungry for seconds? He says after the show. Oh man, I had pumpkin pie earlier.
I had pie.
Probably will not eat, but
I might eat again. I've been known to eat all the time.
My favorite, which I didn't have this year, my dad makes this amazing pineapple stuffing. Oh. It is so good. It's so sweet, so sugary. It's amazing, and I love it.
Sounds good. I want mashed potatoes. They're my favorite. Butter,
classic,
yeah,
cream, salt, like mashed potatoes, like the kind that will clog your arteries. I want mashed potatoes. That's what's up. Those are my favorite thing.
Nice. Yesterday, me and Fiona just had a very small Thanksgiving, so the green bean casserole was just excellent. I would eat that again and again. If it was back in my family's place, my aunt and uncle, my uncle makes homemade salsa.
Ooh.
And I would just gorge on chips and salsa right before Thanksgiving, and I would just already be full. I'm like, I don't need Thanksgiving.
I'll do that.
I have my chips and salsa right here. And then they also have potato casserole. It's like cheesy potatoes. It's like cute potatoes, and then it had the corn flakes on top as like a crust. Ooh. And it's in butter too. Oh, it's so good.
That sounds so good.
Very, very
good.
I fall into the chips and salsa trap at every like restaurant I go to that gives me free chips and salsa. I'll just take my entree home. We're done here. Just bring me all your
so much of it.
I eat all the time. Your meal comes. Absolutely, yeah. Yep.
I do the same.
Yeah.
Some good stuff.
All right, I like this next question. TPR says, let's say another Pokemon game, or heck, any game, gets the Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl, Chibi style treatment. Which game would you personally pick and why? He says, maybe this is blasphemy in some folks' eyes, but I think demaking Sword and Shield into this 2B chibi form factor would be quite interesting. Excited to hear your thoughts.
Boy.
Okay.
You guys got
if
thoughts?
If we're only talking graphical style and not everything else, I guess, that we discussed earlier about these remakes, like just strictly the chibi style.
Yeah.
Artistic presentation of it, I would say Earthbound.
Ooh, yes. Ooh, that's a good answer, because it would look really good.
It has bright poppy colors, the cute little character models I think are kind of reminiscent of that claymation. I think we talked about this. It's very similar to the Link's Awakening art style, where it kind of, they look like little toys almost. I think that those would look really cute in that style.
I'm with you. I would second that vote. Garrett, do you have something that's not our nonsense?
Well, I'm trying to think of the previous Pokemon games. I think like X and Y would be a really good way to do the chibi style. I'm actually, even with the chibi style, like before the like a 2D sprite-based like D-make, I want 2D sprites back.
Me too.
Yeah, I like them better.
I miss sprites.
Yeah, even if it's just like certain Pokemon or whatever, I've seen some fan art of like new Pokemon, like Gen 5 and 6 and up. I have a 2D remake of it, and it's like, that looks sick. And you can totally remake like the original games in a much, I don't know, it's like a much, we could do a lot more with pixel art now.
I'm with you, Garrett. Beforehand. I love that style.
Me too.
They need to embrace that nostalgia. I'm really glad they took the step forward with this chibi style with Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl.
I think, I hate to say this, I think we're old and we have, Elaine, stop. Elaine, stop. Stop, 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 stop.
Elaine, it's
okay.
I'm gonna
go lay down under my desk and take a nap. I'm gonna just go.
What I mean by this is the kids don't like the sprite pixel art that we are very fond of. Garrett, me and you love this style. Gosh. We love it. We want games to be made like this again because that's what we grew up with. And Elaine, stop. The kids are not on our side with this.
You are the kids! Like, it's,
what the children, Elaine. Think of the children.
You are the children. I'm sorry, my heart.
We want the younger children.
Oh, I'm sorry,
Elaine.
The babies.
The ones that play Fortnite.
If I said to my kids, fourth graders at school, if I held up a picture of Pokemon Fire Red and Let's Go Pikachu, they're gonna like Let's Go Pikachu better.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Yeah, I just can't. I can't. The children. You're old.
The children.
I can't.
Okay. Mindspin 82. Very great comment. Octopath Traveler is a great example.
Yes. Beautiful.
Yes.
And what's the Dragon Quest age?
Dragon Quest 3 is about to get a 2D remake, and Project Triangle Strategy is their next game that looks fantastic. You could do amazing stuff with pixel art.
I love it.
And get the kids too. You know,
the kids like
graders.
That though? How many kids are playing Octopath Traveler?
Not one. Children aren't playing.
They're playing Roblox.
They're playing Fortnite. That's what happens in my house. There's four children in this house playing Fortnite.
We need to break the chain. All right.
How do we make sprite based games popular again? That's my challenge to the world, listeners. How do we make it popular with the casual crowd, with the kids, so that they don't look at it and say, "Ew, is this from the 90s? Like, that's so last century."
Oh gosh.
Oh, I got it.
Okay, there are kids that say, "Oh, you mean from the 1900s?"
Yes, I know.
They need to stop.
It's from the 1900s, not the 90s. The 1900s. So, viewers, I challenge you. How do we make sprite-based, pixel-based games cool with the kids? And mainstream.
Make pixel art great again.
That mainstream people want to enjoy them and play them and love them.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to cry.
Elaine, you're with
us. I'm with you. I'm just having
an
old lady crisis. It's fine. I'm with you. I just need a moment. I'm crumbling to dust. I have to.
We're all in one system here, okay? Even though I'm not even graduated from college yet. We're in the same crowd here.
No, because
I have my first idea on how to make it popular with the kids.
Yes.
We write to Epic and we say, you know what would be a really cool Fortnite mode if we had a Fortnite remake where it's all pixel style and suddenly it's a season and it's an event in the game and the kids are like, wow, like Fortnite does it. It's so cool.
Do you know what would actually happen? Do you know what actually happened? Because I live in a house with these children. They would go, Mom, why does Fortnite look crappy like the games you grew up playing? That's what would actually happen. Okay? Then I'm going to take more of my joint supplements and go to sleep forever. I'm done. We're done. Okay. I'm finished. I'm so mad.
If anyone has better ideas, please tweet at me.
For the record, for everybody in chat who thinks I look young, thank you. I'm in my late 30s. So, I am so old. I'm being laughed at behind me, by the way, just in case anybody is wondering.
I just want the kids to buy Octopath Traveler and all these weird niche games that... Pixel art's beautiful, okay?
I will cry if we don't get another Zelda or Pokemon game with pixel art.
I agree. I like pixel art so much, and I want it back, but I feel like it's catering to my generation and some of yours. Damn kids. Freaking get off my internet lawn.
Are me and Garrett the weird ones?
I don't know. You guys are right on the border of things, I feel like.
Are we?
Yeah, I think you are. I think you're right on the border of being get off my lawn and young. So, I'm old.
I feel very in the middle of generations.
Yes,
I think,
are.
Technically we're millennials, right, Garrett? We're millennials.
We are millennials.
I feel 94 babies have a foot in millennial category, where I remember things from the 90s and things like that. But then I also have a foot in the Gen Z, the Zoomer category, where I feel like I relate to a lot of those things too.
I do really think you guys are kind of stuck in this weird in between. I know who I am. I'm old. Okay. I remember the pixel art fondly. All right.
I think the Gen Z cutoff is 97 or something like that.
You guys are right on the board.
I thought it was 95.
No, it's later than you think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, somewhere around there. Yeah, so
I thought we were like some of the last millennials.
But here's the thing:
dawn of the last millennials.
We're dawn of the last millennials.
Anyway, next.
That's got to be the title. Switch
the title. The dawn of the last millennials.
That's the end.
It's too good. Good God.
I had a Razer phone in seventh grade. That's gauging.
No, what's gauging about that is you
all the cool
phone.
Kids had a Razer.
You had a phone in seventh grade. I was a senior in high school. I have to lay the frick down. Like, I'm just...
My first phone, I was in fifth grade.
I was in sixth grade, yeah.
There were no phones of the cellular variety at that point in my life.
But yeah, Garrett, you're right. All the cool kids had a Razer.
Yeah. It was... we knew the age before. I think it was like Facebook. I think really it was like there is an age before Facebook and now people who grew up with that social media, the, like surrounding them.
Do you remember I think I started getting into social media when MySpace was leaving and Facebook was coming.
I remember when Gmail came out and I was in college waiting for an invite. Look, children, okay? Look here.
Before Google was the standard search engine and you had to choose between that or Ask Jeeves or Yahoo.
Don't start with my Ask Jeeves. Yahoo. Jeeves knew things, okay?
Jeeves did know
Jeeves
things.
Jeeves knew everything. Yeah.
I like where this is going.
I don't. Like... I need to go take more joint supplements and drink prune juice and go to sleep. Like I'm crumbling to dust. Anyway.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah.
How did we get from...
I don't. No.
The question was remaking a game in the Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl. I was like trying to see, was that the question that we were on? Yes, it was.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Do we have time to power through the last couple questions here? Or did we?
Let's do it.
Did we stray too far?
I need to read this question next. I'm going to skip the order on you, Bex. I'm taking over for a moment because Yardu asks, what's your favorite dinosaur? And I just want it to be me. Like, that's just where we're at on this podcast right now. I really wanted to make that joke. That's all I really
want. Elaine's our favorite dinosaur.
I am.
Do you have a favorite dinosaur, though? It's a very important question.
It's a raptor.
Yeah,
clever girl.
Very important.
Raptors. Mm. So smart.
Yeah, raptors are really good. Yeah, very clever. I like Triceratops.
Okay. That was my answer.
You guys are so cute.
They're very friendly.
I like the Triceratops because of the Land Before Time and Sarah.
Okay.
Yes, Land Before Time.
I picked the...
That's when we watched it as kids.
We did.
Oh, as kids. It's just... I hate it here.
Stop this. I think we did this last episode. We'll stop.
No, it's fine. It's funny. I really do enjoy these jokes. They make me laugh. Go ahead. You can have your podcast back, Rebecca.
Okay. Speaking of dinosaurs, Pete the Smiling Stegosaurus. Stegosauruses are good too, by the way. Mm-hmm. When playing retro virtual console games, do you prefer save states or the rewind function if you could only choose one?
Save states. 100%.
Save states.
Really?
Save states.
Why?
Yes.
I like the idea of getting to a certain point that I can bookmark and then iterate. I want it to be exactly where I want to be. Like, I don't want to rewind. I want just boom and then reload, and practice.
Yes.
That's me.
I totally agree.
Yeah. I have used both. I probably do prefer that too because I feel like I take advantage of the rewind too much and I end up going back for even minor little, missed a little jump, like, oh, let me go fix that. Like, I rely on it a little bit too much and I feel like I'm kind of cheesing the game more than I should
be. Fair enough.
More than I already am with save states. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I try not to use it. Okay, Zach wants to know, I'm potentially looking to get a new TV with gaming and streaming in mind. What kind or brand do you guys recommend and why?
I'll answer this one because I have recommend. It's going to depend on your budget, Zach. Like if you have the cream of the crop budget, you want an LG OLED set. Like that's what you want to do. If you don't quite have the budget, that's the top of the line, right? If you don't quite have the budget for LG's OLED, I would say LG's NanoCells. One bump below an OLED, but still produce beautiful picture and are much, much more affordable. Mm-hmm. So the LG would be my recommendation right now. I think they make the best panels on the market. OLED, if you've got all the dollars. NanoCell, if you don't quite have all the dollars and may get murdered for spending all the dollars on your TV, but still want beautiful color out of the set.
Mm-hmm. there's different types of OLED. So I think everyone is calling for the C series, the C. I think it's CX this year.
C1 C1 is the newest set.
C1. Mm-hmm. Okay, got it. C1 is the recent one, and they go close to around, if you want a 55-inch, 65-inch, it's close to $1,200 USD. Somewhere around there at Best Buy. LG NanoCell will run you around
under a grand.
600 to 700. Yeah. And it's a very affordable TV for what you get. Now, Zach, I'm wondering, is it because you have an Xbox and PlayStation where you need the 4K and you need the 120 hertz and the HDRs? And if that's the case, these are the TVs to go after. It's the biggest bang for your buck. If you just have, like, a Switch and you have a media streaming device and you don't care about HDR that much, you can probably get your budget way lower than what we're asking for. You can still get a very affordable 4K TV that has some HDR support. Around the most affordable would be around $400 to $500.
TCL is a brand that TCL. I believe Target carries in a couple of other places, and they use I want to say either Panasonic or LG's panel, and just have different brains behind it. And they're beautiful for what you pay. My friend has a 4K, one of those TVs, and they're gorgeous sets. So highly recommend them as well.
The recent one, TCL 5 series, I think, that one is actually pretty good. It is not going to give you the HDMI 2.1 latest type of frames or whatever, but it will be more than enough if you just have a Switch and you just have a media streaming Agreed. Device. You don't need to get the upward echelons of these displays.
Totally agree. Yeah. Yep.
I'm glad that you guys knew what you were talking about for that one.
We got you. We got your back.
I feel like I'll rewind this when I am TV shopping and take your advice, because I don't know what I'm doing with TVs.
We could go into monitors too, because I've been researching.
I'm due soon.
Oh my gosh.
I'm due soon. Yep.
Oh, you're due soon?
For my secondary
Elaine,
monitor.
Let's talk, because let's talk later. Mm-hmm.
There you have it. All right. Hat Dude says, who's the best sidekick in a video game? Hat Dude says, Luigi, since he's loyal, but I would go with Cortana because she's useful. What do you guys think?
Okay. So it's technically not a sidekick because it's an RPG party member, but I'm going to go with Korumaru from Persona 3. This is a dog that has a persona that is a Cerberus, and it holds a knife in its mouth and casts fire spells. Best boy. We're done.
Yep. Yeah.
Koromar.
That's pretty good.
Okay, if we're counting party members, I was originally just thinking sidekick. I'll do both. So sidekick, definitely Ezlo from the Minish Cap.
I knew,
the best companion because he is snarky, he's funny, he is relevant to the story, he doesn't hold your hand too much unless you ask him. So he's definitely the best sidekick. Mm-hmm. And party member Frog from Chrono Trigger.
Ah, Frog. Good choice. Garrett?
Sure. I didn't think about this too much. But I think one character that really stuck to me a lot, and it's just a corny, comedic character, not as much as a sidekick, but Claptrap from Borderlands. He's just around all the time. He tries to be a companion, and he's just stupid. I like that type of stupid funny sometimes. I know a lot of people don't like the humor of Borderlands, but I do. Yep. It gets a little crazy and zany, and that's what I like. Other than that, you mentioned Persona. I do like Teddy.
I like Teddy.
Over Morgana a little bit more. I think Morgana's cool, but Teddy is... There's such an innocence about him, but he comes from this weird... it comes from that other world, and so it's hostile and dangerous, but he's just this beautiful... He's a teddy bear... But then you open him up, and he's just this beautiful man.
That scene was super weird. And also, if we're gonna,
it was very.
I will one up you and say, look, there's a fox in that video game that wears a bib that sells you magic leaves. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That's all I'm gonna say. Foxes don't. Yeah. Okay.
We have some good ones being mentioned in chat. We have Yoshi, Luigi, or Tails. Miles Prower, Lanky Kong, Diddy Kong definitely counts.
Yeah, the Kongs all count. Yeah.
The Kongs are good.
Good stuff. Yeah, I like sidekicks.
My favorite.
All right. And then last up here, Michael wants to know, what is your personal game of the year and why? And let me start by saying we are going to have a full episode dedicated to our games of the year. It's going to be, I don't think we've worked out the details for when it will be yet, but it will be before the end of the year.
Yep.
Well, we will break down our top games of the year. We'll talk about lists, reasons why, things like that. Do we want to give a quick little tease answer for this right now? Have you decided?
I'll tell you.
Do we want to make you guys wait?
I can tell. Oh, boy. I'm back and forth. Part of me wants to say we should wait because it's a fun episode and I really enjoy it.
It's a fun episode, unique.
I could say the ones I'm kind of between but not give reasons. I don't know how you guys feel about that. So where do you want to go with this?
Yeah, I have some games in mind, but I don't. I would really like to wait for the episode because I have a lot of thoughts for this year. Not just about game of the year, but like what games released and what my experience was in general.
Yep. Yeah. So sorry, Michael, we're going to make you wait for this one, but we will soon, once we work out the details of when it will be one of those weeks near Christmas in December that we will have a full episode dedicated to it. Just like we had last year, we had four of us. We had me, Garrett, Donnie, and Elaine team up to have that episode. So once we work out the you know, all the details for that, We will dive into our games of the year then. So thanks for being patient on that. That'll be a fun episode. That was one of my favorites last year.
Me too.
Just because it, you know, it kind of reminds me of everything. Like, it really made me sit down and think about, well, what did I play that released this year? What did I play that this year that released in previous years? Kind of making me reflect on all of that. So I should start thinking about that now.
it's where I discovered I love podcasting with you two so much too. It's like part of what drove me to want to be here for this. So I have that episode has a special place in my old dinosaur heart. So
love it, love it, love it. All right, that is gonna do it for this week's episode. Thanks for catching us on Friday this time.
We'll be back next week,
normal time.
Next Thursday.
Thursday. Then I think the week after that is the Game Awards. So we'll have to talk about
the Game Awards.
Yeah, what we're going to do there, because I think it's the same day and same time. So we will we'll keep you all updated on that. But next week it will be our normal time and day on Thursday. All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And we will see you next week.
Bye-bye.